On the last piece of the Yerushalmi, the bottom of the third sheet of the Xerox, who would like to read for me? Andy. Is Andy here? Where's Andy? I see Hillel. Is he? Okay. So Hillel, would you like to start?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, as I say, O Chavrusa, O Misusa.
Taman
Tininan. Okay, so that's a Mishnah in the Ein Beins in Megillah. And the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippurim is what the punishment is when you do it b'mezid. So that's obviously, the Mishnah requires a minor degree of qualification. Are there any other differences between Shabbos and Yom Kippur? Like, yeah, on Shabbos it's a mitzvah to eat. On Yom Kippur you're not allowed to eat. It means with respect to the Isser Malacha. There is, by the way, also a very interesting shita, Rafram shita. Rafram, which Rav Ashi called the Bedusa or Barusa. And he told them basically it's a nonsense. But he claimed that Erev Hotzal the Shabbos ve'in Erev Hotzal Yom Kippurim. He claimed that there was no Isser, there's only 38 Malachos on Yom Kippur, not 39. There was no Isser of Hotzah. Presumably because of Lo Sotzi Masami Batechem Biyom HaShabbos or something like that, which is the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. But Rabbi Charlap once pointed out to me that the Torah in one place seems to Pasuk like Rafram. I don't think we usually assume that way. We assume that you need that Hotzah is also on Yom Kippur as well. So that is a shita that theoretically does create a difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. On Yom Tov itself, there may not be a Melach of Hotzah. That's a question, whether there's any Hotzah on Yom Tov according to Shita Space Hillel. The way the Rambam sounds from the Rambam that there is no way to violate Hotzah Daraisa on Yom Tov. It really, an Erev is totally unnecessary in the context of Yom Tov. It's not clear. Hotzah shlo l'tzorach klal would still not be in a sederaisa. But in Yom Kippur, we usually assume that hotzah is aser. So the 39. What's that? Yeah, hotzah shlo l'tzorach. Yeah, I mean, but the question is, what is shlo l'tzorach? Now, the Gemara's example is a hotzah etzim out of an offer, so it's a mukzah issue. But normally when people do things, they do it for a reason. Correct. It's clear. It's motah shlo l'tzorach achol nefesh. But the question is, shalal tzarach klal. But we, there's a conceptual problem. Some of you remember from last when we spoke about tiltul, the klisha malach do leheter, shalal tzarach. So it's a machlokas between the Rav and Rav Moshe. It's already an issue discussed in the Rishonim, but the Aruch HaShulchan struggles with the fact, what does it mean, tiltul davar klisha malach do leheter, shalal tzarach klal? When you move something, there's usually a reason for moving, even fidgeting. When you play with the silverware, it's a story, some of you remember the story I told about the Rav, and when you fidget, there's a function there as well. In other words, fidgeting also plays a role in terms of calming a person, whatever else. So anyway, let's assume for the moment Yom Kippur Hotzah is a malacha just like on Shabbos. So the only difference between the malacha of Yom Kippur and the malacha of Shabbos is whether or not is what the punishment is when done b'mezid. B'shogeg, the punishment is the same because Shabbos and Yom Kippur both involve kares, and the rule is that kol davar shezdono kares shigagaso is a chatas. So fine. So now the Yerushalmi comments on that. Okay. So that the truth is, as diukim go, that's not the most compelling diuk ever made. Why? Correct. In other words, the assumption is that why do you say come lebe d'rab mirei by Shabbos? Because there's Misa. And when there's Misa, there's no Mamon. So by Yom Kippur, there is no Misa. It's only Kares. So immediately the Yerushalmi now explains. So I would have thought that the Diuk was so particularly compelling. I think the Bavli makes the same Diuk, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, in the Megillah.
Right, but it's not. I wouldn't have thought that the diuk was so compelling. But okay, but they both make the diuk, and they say, yeah.
At least the way the Bavli seems to read every one of the inmates is that the inmates are like going to be, or the inmates are going to do a chayish shalmi with the asah hashoah between each of the inmates. That's how the Bavli seems to read it.
The point is, I understood that ein beins are being meshava things. That by definition, ein bein x and y means they're the same except for. So what is they saying? What does it mean they're the same? So there's a lot to be said in that. Not every mishnah does the Gemara make the yukim, you know, beyond the obvious.
No, every mishnah seems to do so.
No, it's just what's that?
And every mishnah Megillah has at least one non-obvious yukim from the ein
bein. I don't think that's true. No. We could go back and look at that. I don't think that's correct. But this is shalom min mishenomino here, right? In other words, it's clear what it means in terms of the scope of malacha. But okay, fine. So now, look, they make the diuk. Okay, maybe they had a tradition on the Mishnah. They had a mesorah. So, what is the Yushami now comment? Okay. So Rav Chunni ben Akana said Yom HaKippurim k'Shabbos l'Tashlumin. Now, this is a particularly interesting shita, because when we read the Bavli, what does this mean when you say Yom HaKippurim k'Shabbos l'Tashlumin? And this, by the way, is a very important point in understanding the significance of original formulations. In fact, there's a machlokas, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, how to understand Rav Chunni ben Akana. What the Bavli understands Rav Chunni ben Akana, and the Yerushalmi is actually Rav Shimon Menasseh. Which is kind of funny, given his appearance in that braisa with Shimon HaTemani, which is interesting in its own right. One does wonder what is floating around in the background. You know, what traditions are there in the Bavli, what traditions are there in the Yerushalmi. But when the Bavli saw Rav Chunya ben Akana Shita, how did it understand Rav Chunya ben Akana? That kares is like misa for kamei rabba mine. Right, the way Rava said it when he, based upon the pasuk in Kedoshim, kares shali kemisa shalachem. But here the Yerushalmi is going to tailor or understand his position much more narrowly, right? And the position is going to be understood as limited to a very small set of, well, how small I don't know, but a subset of chayve krisus. Okay, how many chayve krisus are there, by the way? That would be, how many chayve krisus are there?
So 20-something.
How are you counting? What do you mean by how many?
36. It's the first mission in krisus. There are actually a few more, because Pesach and Mila, and then it's a question of Agade for a couple of things, other things may count there, but somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 things that the punishment of kares. But we can leave out the two assays, because you can't not do something and be mischayev mamad at the same time, and you can't be mazik and by doing nothing and be chayev for it, but then we'd say come to the rabbi, it won't work. Okay, so the bottom line is that you have somewhere between 36 and probably 39 things which you could talk about come to the rabbi by kares, and so the Yerushalmi is going to say that Rav Nechunya only is mechayev on a subset of those. It may be a fairly significant subset, but still only on a subset. So now, go ahead. Okay, that's a much more akin to Rava's formulation. So obviously, these two positions, whichever one you adopt, run very contrary to what? To Rabbi Yochanan earlier, right? If you remember, Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said... That it was explaining Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Abban Bar Chiya, it was on page 2 of the Hinnah, B'shem Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Amar, K'dei Rishaso Shnei Dvarim HaMisurin LeBeizdin, Atofes Echad Mayim Yatza Davar Shemasur L'Shamayim, right? That is, amongst the things that's rejecting, is not only Karban, but presumably Kares as well. Okay. What's that?
Wasn't that because of the date of K'dei Rishaso? Whereas the Bavli holds that this is a din of Asan.
Right. The Bavli also had. So I'll tell you, if you want to see in the Bavli, Kedei Rish Aso is used for Malkos and Mamon. And the Pasuk in Lo Yason, which is in the Mishnah, is being used for Misa and Mamon, which is something we're going to have to explore further.
This may not be. It doesn't seem like this is necessarily the Chol of Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan is talking about because it's a pasuk in Kedei Rishaso.
Yes, but the way Kedei Rishaso is formulated expansively to Rishayos, which are Mesurim the based in.
Right. So this is where the Yochanan gets his din from. Whereas if, like in the Bali, the Rishayos holding like the Bali, that the Yochanan and Akana's din is a din from the a deal from the pasuk of Aseri Imyon Lo Yias and Imyon Shanesh, then there's something wrong. You don't have to be disagreeing. The Yochanan and the Yochanan have. Sorry, I'm second.
But Rabbi Yochanan, I understand that coming to Pesukim. But Rabbi Yochanan, the Kedei Rishaso doesn't tell you Befeirush. It's not Befeirush in the pasuk that it has to be Davar Masa the Beis Din. So that would make no sense to turn around and say, but by Kares is going to pot to you because it's not Masa the Beis Din. And yet you chai v'chatas, and that doesn't count. The chatas is an outgrowth of the kares.
Right.
So Rabbi Yochanan says that shagag, that hisid belav and shagag bekares. You don't say kol maybe the rabba mine, right? Why? Because one is master lashamayim. So you're going to say only it's because you have to bring a karban, but you get malchus and you have to bring a karban. But if it's kares, then you say kol the rabba mine. I don't get it. It's still master lashamayim. And ad rabba, at least karban is something. While it's master lashamayim, it comes out of your pocket. But it has a tangible, immediate effect. Whereas Karis doesn't even have that. So if you don't say it by Mammon, come like the Rami, by Karbon, why would you say it by Karis?
Can you answer that you bring a Karbon?
That was the case. Shagag hisid bilab and shagag be Karbon. Rabbi Yochanan says, you know it's also to do. They warn you, they give you Malchus. You don't know that the Chayiv Karis for doing it. So Lagabe the Karis, your Shogeks. Rabbi Yochanan holds that you have to bring a Karbon. You can bring a Karbon. Reish Lakish says you don't bring a Karbon until you show you Lagamri. What? No, according to Reish Lakish, you don't bring Choshechai Malkus. According to Reish Lakish, you don't bring a karban not because of Kamlei be the Rabba Mine. You don't bring a karban because you're not. He says you're not a shogeg. He says in order to bring a karban, you have to be a shogeg.
And you get Malkus in this kind of Reish Lakish?
Yes. Yeah, the Machlokus is simply whether you bring a karban in those cases or not. Whether or not it's a din in Shkagos, it's not a din in Kamlei be the Rabba Mine. And at least the way the Bavli presents it. Here the Yerushalmi doesn't present Reish Lakish Hashita, but in the Bavli, in Shabbos, it's the first sugi in the seventh parak, so there the Bavli presents it as if Reish Lakish believes that you have to be shogeg in the Maisa, not just shogeg in the Onesh. Rabbi Yochanan says, since you didn't realize how severe you knew was Aser, they warned you to give you Malkus, but they didn't tell you, by the way, Nerechai of Kurish for doing this. So you didn't think, you thought it was bad, but you didn't think it was that bad. Right, so that's your shogeg legabe the severity of the isser. Rabbi Yochanan says you can bring a karban. Reish Lakish says no, you have to be shogeg on the isser itself as well. If you know that what you're doing is usser, in effect, it boils down to an understanding of the question of shav midiyasa. Right, we pointed out that if a mumar doesn't have erev shogeg, he doesn't bring a karban because had he known, he would have done it anyway. Right, because he's not shav midiyasa. Right, had you told him, he still would have done it. So in effect, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish maybe argue about what is the scope of shav midiyasa. Now let's hear. You,
well, then how does Rabbi Yochanan disagree with this then?
Because Rabbi Yochanan believes that you don't say kam lid rabbin unless it's two onshin bidei beisdin. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana is stating that kares and mamon, that the kares paters the mamon, but kares is not bidei beisdin. Bidei beisdin is mamon, malkos, misa. Kares is something else. If Rabbi Yochanan agreed with this din, it would have been very strange to have to interpret Kedei Rishaso in that fashion. You would have just interpreted, if I'm chayiv multiple things, bidei beisdin, bidei shamayim, when you say kam lid rabba mine, based upon this. So that's why it's almost certain. Rabbi Yochanan is not...
He says that by Malkus and Mammon, like Kedei Rishaso. What do you say that
the principle, the reason why Rava says you bring a karban, and... your chayiv malchus is because you don't apply kamalei d'rabim unless there are two punishments in the hands of beis din. So when you're dealing with a situation where there's kares bidei shamayim,
that's what we're explaining with Yochanan and Shabbos.
Well, the way the Yerushalmi explained, Rabbi Yochanan, I think Rabbi Yochanan here, right? The Yerushalmi said that I think it was pretty explicit. That's my other sheet. The Yerushalmi said that. And then Rabbi Abon explains, so So the kares is maser l'shamayim. If that is the correct interpretation, what Rabbi Yochanan said, okay, so it's Rabbi Avin's interpretation, b'shem somebody, I can't remember, so then it has to be incompatible with Rabbi Nechonia's position, because kares, and whether you take Abaye Rava's version, is maser l'shamayim. Right? I don't think that the Bavli never explored the question as why don't the Chachamim accept Rabbi Nechonia ben Akana? In other words, he learns asan asan. So you'll say, the Chachamim don't learn asan asan, but what's the svara behind the Chachamim? The svara behind the Chachamim is that you only say kam leibid rabbi mine when it's a function of the Beis Din. Beis Din cannot give to onshin. Okay. Fine. So now the Yushalmi wants to say, what is the nafkamina between Rav Nechunya ben Akana and Rav Shim ben Menasya? Go ahead, Hillel. Okay. Nara nida behon and Rabbi Mana Omer. Okay, so firstly, we have to explain two things. One, the Yushalmi will explain for us, which is, how is this the Nafgamina? And number two, what is the machlokas between Rabbi Acha and Rabbi Mana?
So,
Alda
Teirach, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, Mashaba, in lo hetur acharisura, Ahyam lekikurum, in lo hetur acharisura.
The Elu. Okay, so this requires Reb Shimon ben Asya is very straightforward. You can read that next line quickly, but we have to come back to this line. Go ahead. Okay, so Reb Shimon ben Asya, we understand. Kares is like Kares Ali Kamisa Shalachem. So firstly, what is going on with that first interpretation? We're arguing that there are two kinds of Kares. There's bad kares and there's worse kares, apparently. Bad kares is the kind of kares that would have heter eventually, whereas good kares, worse kares is one where there isn't any heter. So I understand why Nida and Achos Ishto, but without for the moment distinguishing between the two of them, I do understand why Yeshlam heter, right? That makes sense. Yeshlam heter because here today, gone tomorrow. Right, a woman's anita today, she can theoretically be Torah tomorrow or the next day after that. Achos Ishto? What about Achos Ishto? So if she dies, then his wife's sister is Mutaras to him. What is missing here, by the way? There's a third possibility. Yes, correct, say it louder. Eshesach is missing. So that is not even presented here. So it's Achos Ishto.
No, Achos Ishto is much more common than
one person dies and puts someone dies and kids.
So hold on. We'll come back to that. We'll talk about it. Hold on. So first, let's figure what's that. Let's figure out. What does it mean that Shabbos and Yom Kippurim don't have heter? So Raymond and Shlayan complained to me. I mean, it's obvious. I gave them the teretz and I'll give you the teretz, but it's a little bit odd. Why is it odd? So, you know, what happens? It's a case in Hucha Shabbos. So someone comes over on Shabbos. The cholent is in the crock pot. They take a spoon and they spoon a little bit out to remove some, carefully, not stirring, although it's fully cooked already. And then you taste it and you say, no, it's not salty enough. So they grab the salt shaker and they sprinkle it in and stir it up. And you come back, added a little bit of salt. There was already salt in there. So enough salt now, it tastes properly salty. So what's the din? Okay, so firstly, they have to bring a chatas, fine. Okay, if the salt takes a while to cook, according to the Gemara, some of you should remember this case, because we did this last year, for those who were with me for Chol Shabbos. So what is the psak? What is the psak of the Ramah? See, I remember this well, because I've been doing this in another context with some of my former, still my Talmid, but not in yeshiva anymore. Rosh Shlomo Zalman has a very long tshuva about Masa Shabbos. It's Simin Hey in Mincha Shlomo, the first chelek, so we're still in the middle of it, but he discusses this Ramah and is discussing at great length. So what is the din? What's that? Doesn't make a difference whether it's shogeg or mesid. Not nice of Shabbos. This case. Can you eat the chulin? Why not? Sprung.
The Gemara says Isur Isur.
No, it doesn't, number one. It's Rabbi Yochanan Hassan, that we don't pass. Nobody passes that way. I don't think there's any beferish machlokas the mechaber and the Rama. I think the Shulchan Aruch is so same lechumra kedas Rabbi Yehuda, but the Gra says that it's halacha veimor and kain. You can really be makel, but if you know. But putting that aside, so I don't know. It's possible it's, that Sfaradi poskim would be more machmir here, but I'm not sure. What's that? I'm telling you here, the dinner makes no difference whether shogeg or mesid. No, it says it boy bishula kid bisur the Torah, as opposed to tavlin.
Weren't there two lashonos in the Gemara?
There were two lashonos in the Gemara, but that doesn't matter for the Rama. Assuming for the moment, I told you the chulin's still on the crock pot. If you take it off, it might be, if it's a kli rishon shalom ala esh, it might be salt doesn't cook. Two lashonos, midina will make ill, but lemaise it's glad to be machmer. But here it's on the fire still. It's continuing to cook. Salt will cook. Whatever it means for an ACL. But yes, Fitterman?
It's
yad soledis. I mean, this is cooking on the element. It's yad soledis. Alex? So firstly, a Yisrael who does malach on Shabbos is no din of kedesh yaseh. You're saying you're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos. That's what you're saying. After Shabbos, it would be mutar miyad. There's no gzeirah mid rabbanon because a Yisrael who does malacha biyadayin, that's milsul al-shricha. Only by amira la'akum do we have a concept of when a goy does something. Let's put it that way. And when the goy does something, when you're not allowed to bed for it on Shabbos, we don't allow you to use it even after Shabbos b'chadesh yaseh. You know, enough time that it could be done because otherwise you'll have incentive to ask the goy to do it on you for Shabbos, to do it for you on Shabbos. It'll be ready right after Shabbos. Okay, but Yisrael does that. We're not choshesh for that.
Does it matter if he's eating it or if someone else?
No, it doesn't matter. No.
Does mission over to the mayor, you and Yochanan Sandler, have anything to do with that?
No, it's irrelevant for a different reason. Because the salt is batel. Ah, but you're going to say to me, but you can taste it. So milsa David latayma is lo batel. Any two of your folks here? Yeah, Alex, Albert, and Nathan said so you did your day with me also. So you go back. So you know that milsa David latayma lo batel. If you can taste the salt, it doesn't matter if it's 1/1000. It's the lasis. The Rama says no, because mistama you already had salt in there, and this was just to push it over the edge, and that is called zevizegorim. And zevizegorim we paskin as mutter. In other words, the salt of isser and salt of heter. The heter salt was the salt that was there before, and the isser salt is the salt that is cooking on Shabbos, then we say that it's zevizek gorim, and since presumably if all you had was the salt that you added that got cooked on Shabbos, you wouldn't be able to taste that. It's only in combination. So zevizek gorim is mutter, right? The two components of salt combined together and only together can flavor it. And when you have a situation zevizek gorim, it's mutter. For example, if I have yeast where there's not enough to make a dough. From this, it won't cause the dough to rise. Or rennet, the same thing. I have kosher rennet, not enough, and I have non-kosher rennet. And the two together are enough that can make the cheese curdle. So then we say, even though half the rennet is treif, we say that the cheese is mutter, because the treif rennet could not have curdled the cheese alone, and that's called zevizegarim. It's a machlokas atanaim, it seems. I think Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim and Temura, we paskin zevizegarim is mutter. So that's what the Rama wants to say here. But the Magen Avraham has a question. My Rebbe always likes to point out that zevizegorim means the two things have to be accomplishing the same thing together. You can't have two. If your chulent wouldn't taste good unless you have both of these ingredients, you don't say that this is called zevizegorim. And it's the two things have to do the exact same function.
In the case of the Gemara that you plant like a seed in the ground, and that's zevizegorim, the seed and the ground together.
So both are doing the same, fundamentally the same thing there. They're both components of one thing, causing the thing to shoot up and grow. You know, you need both, but they don't have to be identical things. But their aim is, a better way to put it is if you have two stages in the chain, let's say first you have one enzyme functions, then you do a second enzyme to transform, you don't say zevizegorim. Right? It has to be all on the same stage. I should formulate it more carefully. So there's only one little problem. So this is for the Yoredeya people. We did it in Shabbos last year. This one little problem. Problem is, it's called the davar sheyesh lamatirin. And a davar sheyesh lamatirin, afilu be'elef labatel. Right? In other words, let's say you're right. Let's say the amount of salt that you put in, that you added on Shabbos, that cooked on Shabbos, Okay, and now flavors the tavshil is not enough. Is not enough to impart flavor, so therefore it should be batel because it's a because it's 2,000 times heter kenegedis. But there's one little problem: when you have a davar sheishal matirin, then we say that davar sheishal matirin is not batel. Now, for those of you who really remember your day, you know that this is called the davar sheishal matirin is not batel only when it is min b'mino. If it's min b'sheino mino, I will not ask you this on the Bechina, but you're getting a very quick summary of a major theme in Yeridea. If it's Mimbish Eino Mino, they're Batel. I don't want to take the time to explain why now. But if it's Mimbimino, then there's no Bittel by Dever Sheish Lamatirin. So you'll say to me, but the salt is not the same Min as the rest of the Tavshil. So there, the Achronim just say it is called Mimbimino, because when you have an ingredients that are part of a mixture based upon a Gemara at the end of Beitza, that Melach and Tavlin and Mayim in an Isa for Tchum on Yom Tov is considered, Ravashi says it seems to call it Mimbimino. Okay, so it's Mimbimino, so they ask the Kasha, why is it Batel? So the Magen Avraham says, because when does the salt become Usser? The salt becomes Usser not when you put it in, because as some of you remember, Daniel, salt takes a long time to cook, according to the Gemara. That milcha boi bishula kibisra de Torah. Therefore, when you put it in initially, it is not usser. And even after it dissolves, it hasn't yet fully cooked. And once it dissolves, only later, after it's fully dissolved and not nikar anymore, then the isser masa shabbos is chal on it. But we don't say davar sheish lamatirin is not batel, which is a chumram, a clear chumram derabanan, unless the iser is nikar b'fnei atzmo when it got mixed in. But since the iser didn't exist b'fnei atzmo until it was buried, so the Magen Avraham says davar sheish lamatirin is batel here because the iser was never nikar. So,
fun time.
Yes, Mati.
What do you mean by davar sheish lamatirin?
I'm going to ask a question. Why am I talking about this? Other than that, it's fascinating. I think really interesting. You might even think it's more fascinating than we're looking at the Yushalmi. The din is, if I have a beitza shenolda b'yom tov, and it gets mixed in with other beitzim, and let's assume for the moment that a beitza is not a davar chashav, it might be, but let's say a beitza is not considered a davar shiva minyan. So normally if you have, let's say, if a beitza of a treifa, you have a bird that is a treif, it was nitrifa, and it gets mixed in as a chicken that became a treifa, but immediately laid an egg, and then you have a bunch of other kosher eggs, they get mixed together. So we would say that you should even have bittel barov. You have three eggs, so it should be batel. Okay? Assuming that a beitz is not called a davar chashav, a davar shiva minyan, in which case there's no bittel at all. Okay? Certainly if you took that beitz as treifa and you scrambled it up, and then you took 60 other beitzim, which were kosher, and you scrambled them, and you made one big batch of scrambled eggs, and then you found out that one of the 60 was a treifa, actually one of the 61, but actually, if you remember, Kiran Asha, Albert, and Nathan, one out of 62. The Gemara adds on an extra one. You too, Nagar, I'm sorry. Do you want punishment? Okay, so you require an extra one in Beitzim for whatever reason. So the bottom line is that you would say that it's mutter. Why? Because the one treif egg is batel in the other shishim. But what if this egg were not treif, but it was a beitza shenol de b'yom tov, and then you cooked up a big batch of scrambled eggs for shalosh shudas on yom tov? Okay, and then all of a sudden you realize that one of them was a beitza shenol de b'yom tov. So the din is you're not allowed to eat it. You have to wait till after Yom Tov. Assuming that the food wouldn't spoil, that's why I chose shalosh shudas. Why? Because it's a davar sheish lamatirin. Ad shetochlanu beisur tochlanu behetet. Wait till after Shabbos, and then you can consume it.
Patience.
Okay. So now that that has been said, ask yourself the question. Okay. So what do you mean Shabbos ein heter achar isura? And Yom Kippur ain't het derach avisura. What are you talking about? Wait, after Shabbos, you're allowed to do malacha. Shabbos is not an isur olamis. Shabbos is a temporary isur. You make havdal, everything's mutter, and we're happy. And we're sad that Shabbos is left, we're allowed to do malacha. So what does this mean? Shabbos and Yom Kippur have no het there. You guys read this, you shall me. Only two of you asked me the question. I know you're being kind to me. Yeah, and it's always an Isser Bia. As long as she's an Ida, it's always an Isser Bia.
As long as she's an Ida.
Oh, as long as it's Shabbos.
What is that?
But I even more fundamental.
What do you mean? How is Shabbos in Heter Lachar Isura? It's Usser now. Come tomorrow, it's Mutter.
We ask a more basic question.
Sure, why not?
Even the, what it's comparing it to, the Naranida and the Acho Ishto, why would that make a difference that one day she's going to be...
So you would argue, you would,
you, therefore you would need to do tashlumin now. I don't understand.
No, you would argue that the isur, that certain isurim are less chamor, and therefore now the kares on some level, I don't know how you. There are different kinds of kares. Zara nechrasim, you know, yamav nechrasim, but you might say that an avera which never has heter is a slightly worse form of an avera. So if your model for... I have another kasha, by the way. Mnei comes from Shabbos, and you extend it to Yom Kippur, so that would be... It would, might not include tafasta, meruba lo tafasta, tafasta, mo tafasta. The only kind of kares you can expand from is one which is a permanent yisur. But one for temporary yisur, again, it's not so compelling. I have another, by the way, I'll just throw one other kasha into the pile here. What's the makor for kam levi d'rabba, Mnei? Shabbos? Is it on Shabbos? I don't think so.
No, but that's mitzvah beitah.
Hayoses yom hakipurim kishabbos l'tashlumin. Very nice that you treat Yom Kippur like Shabbos. But the way the Gemara is explaining things, it sounds like that Shabbos is the makar and we treat Yom Kippur the same way. Right, also Yom Kippur Shabbos Tashlumin. And how on Shabbos do you know that Kam Levi D'Rabba Mineh? That you would think that it's only because it is of a permanent nature. It's not the Makar. The Makar is. Yeah. I mean, so is that all it means? That it's a very strange thing. If he meant to say analogous exactly to the nature of the Isser Shabbos, which is Dover, for whatever, however we get to it, we'll talk about it in a moment again. We'll come back to it. Dover she'en lo hetel achar isuro. Why would you care about Shabbos? Shabbos is irrelevant. What matters is Ritzicha. Is Ritzicha have heter la'achar isura? Theoretically, if the person becomes Chayav Misen Beistin, becomes a Gavra Ketil, I don't know. Well, if it's Chayav Misen Beistin, it's a mitzvah to kill him. Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. Oh, what's that? That was the machlokas between the priests and the Rashbam. You know, a famous Rashbam on Lo Sirtzach, he engaged in a polemic. He said he explained to them that they mistranslated the Latin. They misunderstood. Lo Sirtzach means to kill someone without permission. It's not Lo Sarug, it's Lo Sirtzach. But apparently they thought it Lo Sirtzach meant to kill. And yet the Torah says you kill someone in Beis Din, so obviously they held that Ritzicha is sometimes Mutter. But yes, we agree that if we hold like the Rashbam, not like his contemporary priests, and therefore we assume that Lo Sirtzach means when it's prohibited. Fine. So Ritzicha is never... I don't think we say Ritzicha is Davashesh Heter Lachar Isura. Fine. So again, but why would you infer that it's I don't understand. I don't know the answer to that question. Now, Shabbos is not the makar for Kam Levi D'Rabba Mineh. Ritzicha is the makar for Kam Levi D'Rabba Mineh. So let's come back to our issue. Why is Shabbos Davar Shein Acharei HaHeter? Moshe.
Maybe like the actual woman from before the, like, let's say Achos Isha, the actual woman is the same person.
Okay.
But like, the malacha doesn't exist beforehand. So, like, once Shabbos is over, it's not like the same malacha. You're doing the same action, but it's not the same malacha. Like, it's the same woman before and after the death of of her sister.
So, I think that you are walking down the track. Perhaps you are afraid to utter these words in my presence. Chefta Gavra distinction. Okay. So, I think that if there is going to be an explanation we can understand for Yerushalmi, I think that will be the distinction, but I don't like your focus on the malacha. Right? I think that the focus has to be on Shabbos. And here I draw your attention to a comment I believe the Gemara has at the beginning of that opening sugya of the seventh parak in Shabbos. What happens if I forget it's Shabbos and I do malacha? Okay? And then, I don't know when I find out about it, next Shabbos, again I forget it's Shabbos and I do malacha. How many korbanos chataos do I have to bring?
Two.
Why?
The week divides it. We assume that at some point during the week you would have figured out your mistake.
So I want to point out to you that some want to say the yom shevitzayim have yidia lachalik is the Gemara's expression. But if I'm not mistaken, some want to argue that each Shabbos, that, and maybe even with that language, what, let's say you never found out in between. You would just have calendar confusion.
I don't think Mara's assumption was like, Mistama, you're going to find out. Like,
but let's say you don't. What would it then be? So the answer may be, I don't remember if the Gemara actually uses this expression, is that, no, if you don't know that if you don't know that writing is usher on Shabbos, and you write this Shabbos and next Shabbos the following Shabbos, so we say that it's one shogeg, period. But if I forget that this is Shabbos, if I get next to Shabbos, so it seems that we might invoke a concept here, what I'll call gufen mochlakim. In other words, each Shabbos is a guf v'shnei atzmo. It doesn't matter what you actually found out during the week, anything, right? If you didn't remember that you did malacha on that day that turns out it should have been Shabbos, then you didn't find out anything. Nonetheless, each Shabbos may be considered a guf mifnei atzmo. And the bottom line is, for those purposes, Shabbos never has heter. In other words, we look at the day, it's not that, we're not looking at whether the malacha becomes motor. The question is whether Shabbos ever becomes motor. Maybe you don't even need to invoke guf mochlakim. I think it's helpful a little bit when you contrast it to the Nida and the Achos Isha cases. So Shabbos basically, it's not that the malacha, has heter lachar Yisur. The malacha does have heter, but Shabbos never has heter, because when Shabbos is over, it's not that all time is the same and now it's mutter, but rather Shabbos remains usher, but Shabbos is past. Come next Shabbos, it's Shabbos again. And Shabbos never has heter, whereas when you don't focus on the malacha, but you focus here, the focus is not on the bia, the focus is on this woman, right? And this woman, if you have a man, for example, if a man has many wives, and they all happen to be nidos, and he's b'shogeg, not realizing that this one's a nida, that one's a nida, and the other one is a nida, and he has bia, let's say, with all of them, how many chatos does he bring? It's the same shogeg in effect, right? Let's say it's the same, let's say he didn't even know. He didn't know that this particular issue makes a woman a nida, right? No, doesn't matter. By Nisha, go for Machlakim. Three. Chayav multiple chatos. So by the, except for the moment. I know what you're going to ask me about Shabbos. So that's why maybe I don't even need to invoke the Shabbos question of, maybe I'm better off not invoking the guf of Machlakim on Shabbos. When it comes to Nida, you look at the guf of each woman is separate. But if you're dealing with one woman, his same wife, and he has bia with her three times, so then, with the exception of those of you doing Daf Yomi, Rabbi Elazar Shita recently, we assume that you're only chayav once, even though you have multiple bios. Rabbi Elazar was mechayav on every bia. Maybe every koach, as the Gemara Yavama says. Chatos. Three chatos, if it's shogeg. Oh. Multiple chatos. That's the discussion. In discussion of those sugis and crisis is all about how many chatos you bring. Obviously, you can't kill a person more than once. I'm not even sure. I mean, God could kill you more than once, but he'd have to resuscitate you in between. For human beings, we only recognize two categories. Dead and almost dead, but that's it. Right? Nothing else. Fine, we have two categories and almost dead.
Yes.
Okay, fine. So it could be that, so what they're saying is that Shabbos is always asa. Whenever it's Shabbos, this is malacha remains asa. But this woman, we're focused on the guf of this woman. So she's an Ida now, she's not an Ida tomorrow. She's Achos Ishto today, she's not Achos Ishto tomorrow, because his wife died. Okay? So that's what you have to say. It's difficult, but I don't know how else to explain the Yerushalmi. Yes, Daniel?
I mean, you may have just alluded to this when you said it's difficult, but this Chakira you seem to have created, what's the basis for Shabbos focusing on not goofing with Lachin, but on the Nida?
So that's why maybe I shouldn't invoke. But the reason I invoked the Gufa Mukhlakim part was not to be mechalek one Shabbos from the next, but to point out that Shabbos is viewed as a Cheftza in the same way that an Isha is viewed as a Cheftza. Right? And once you look at it that way, then you don't focus on the Malacha becoming Mutter, you focus, is it ever Mutter on Shabbos? Forgetting whether this Shabbos and next Shabbos are one or two things. The bottom line is they always remain Aser. Whereas this woman, when you focus on the woman, right? And we say the din of Shabbos and the Nida is not the same for sure. Shabbos, even to the extent that we say Yom Shem in time Havidil Chalik, and if you forget it's Shabbos with respect to that Shogates Gufa Machlakim, this is the answer to your question, by the way. I know what you were going to ask. Lagabe, if I don't know that it's Asa to do Zriya, we don't say Gufa Machlakim. In other words, Shabbos is Gufa Machlakim to the extent it exists, is not the same as my Nida. That's not our question for the moment, but the bottom line is that you have. What's that?
That was my question.
What's that?
You said you're answering my question. That was my question.
Well, you don't like the answer I'm giving to your question, but I understood what your question was. So the bottom line is that Shabbos, you can look at Shabbos in effect as a chepta. And therefore, that sometimes produces multiple chiyuvim by dint of becoming separate cheftaos, based upon what your shogeg was. By nida, it's always objectively. I'm hearing echoes of Rabbi Rosen's swag of 25 years ago. Objective guf. I think he may have actually said this now. It's amazing what's buried in your brain. Objectively gufa machlokin versus subjectively gufa machlokin. So I think that will illustrate why to focus on Shabbos versus the Malacha, as Moshe was in his formulation was attempting to do. So Shabbos never has heter. This Isha, this Guf, has heter, whether she's a Nida or an Achos Isha. So that addresses that question. I wish the Yerushalmi had spelled that a little more. Yudi?
Why would it be that, since it could be heter at one point, that would make it more Machmer? Should that make it...
No, it makes it more Makel. You wouldn't say...
No, because you have to pay now. No,
but you're paying as a product of getting a lesser kares. Kamle b'derabamine. You know, that's only if it's a severe kares. But if it's a lesser kares, then, you know, we
but
wouldn't...
These weren't too extending it to kares anyway. Then parts of the kamle b'derabamine is still either kares, which is still more...
No, I would say, by the way, according... Just think about in the Yerushalmi from what within the Nemisa v'deshamayim. I think it's clear in this Yerushalmi they wouldn't have considered Misa B'Dishamayim to be something that would pat you, because that's clearly less severe than Kares. So now we're just having a discussion within. No, let's think about Rav Ashit and the Babli within Rav Chunin ben Hakana. That Kares, yes, is supposed to be Misa B'Dishamayim, no. Why not? It's an Onesh B'Dishamayim. The answer is, it's got to be really bad. Right? Kares is so bad that. So within Kares, the Yerushalmi is entertaining the possibility that this Kares A and this Kares B. So now I want to know, what is the machlokas between these two shitos, and why is Eishes Ach not included? Why did nobody come along and say a third shita, Eishes Ach Yesh Heter La'achari Surah? Anybody want to... I want to answer the... I'm having fun now. I don't usually get to dilemmas like this. Okay. I have to teach you, really. Okay. And Shalayan, some of you have moved past high school where you have to be entertained. Now you have to be taught. Okay, fine. So I want to know, why should Eishes Ach be different? What's the difference between Eishes Ach and Achos Isha? I wrote an article, my first Shtickel Torah. I don't write a lot. I don't write enough, probably. But if you go back many, many eons ago in the Beis Yitzchak, I think it was the first one. I wrote only two articles. I go back to the early 90s. I know it's... I edited one, and then in two consecutive years, I remember before, after, I wrote two articles. One is well known, one is not. The one that's not well known was entitled "Be'inyan Ein Heter Chal Al Isser." Okay, catchy title. Why do I say that? So, what's the difference between without telling you what I wrote there for the moment? What's the difference between the Heter of Eishes Ach and the Heter of Achos Isha? Is that?
Once Eishes Ach is usher, it's always usher. Once it's usher because of Eishes Ach.
That's a technical description, but when I focus on Eishes, firstly, that's not pashut at all, not true. Again, if you look in the Gemara, what happens if a man divorces his wife and then remarries her and dies? Can his brother do yibum? Well, it's a machlokas Reb Lazar and the Chachamim, because when he divorced her, she was Nesar in that sense. If he dies now when they're divorced, can't do Yibam on her. It's a machlokas when he remarries her, whether that original period which asked her forever. We paskin, it doesn't. I want you to focus on the other side. I want you to focus on the Heter of Eishes Ach. What is the nature of the Heter of Eishes Ach? What's that? It's true. That's true, and that may highlight another point about the nature of Eishes Ach. Shamar v'zachar b'dibur echad nemru. And the Chilta says, Ervas Eishes Achi chalosa galei, and Yivamayavola are also b'dibur echad nemru. What does that mean?
that like the isser of Eshet Ach is like basically like doche, like doche is being doche by the.
No, you've heard this from me. Did you read Thimi Fi Yavamos? You heard this from me. This is a crucial point. You see,
it was created by the isser rather than.
I would say that the there are two scenarios. It's like two. I'm going to give, not the way I usually give the analogy, but it's a Venn diagram where you split the circle in half, where you carve a little part out of it. There's no overlap, but a little part of the Eishes Ach was carved out to say that in a makom that the brother dies without children and there's a brother from the father who was Eishes Ach Balamo, there is a mitzvah of Yibam. Mm-hmm. What's that?
Maybe you could say...
It's not a heter.
That's what I'm saying.
It was never Nesser. That's what Zohar V'Shomer B'Dibur Echad Nemra means. That if you think about the formulation, and it's important, by the way, because it's not a dechia. The point that I make, the difference between asei docha los asei, those of you who learn the first parak of Yevamos know that there's a very long sugya there about asei docha los asei. One of the things that the Gemara wants to know is, how do you know that an asei is an asei docha los asei when the los asei involves kares? Now, knock knock, why don't you point to use Yibum as the paradigm? The reason the Gemara doesn't do that is because it's definitional. You know what asei docha los asei is? Shatnez and tzitzis. Tzitzis exists independently. Shatnez exists independently. There's a small area in which they overlap. And that's the question when you have a Venn diagram with overlapping circles. That's a dechia question. Which is docha which? But by Yibum, by definition, that's why I said the circle of Yibum is a subset of the Isser of Eishes Ach, and therefore it's not a Dechia. It's definitional. That's what it means, Shamar V'Zachar. I mean, that's what I like to say, a Melitza, that's what Shamar V'Zachar B'Dibur Echad Nemra means. It means there are two scenarios. There's Eishes Ach B'Makom Mitzvah, Eishes Ach Shalom B'Makom Mitzvah. Eishes Ach Shalom B'Makom Mitzvah is an Isser Kares, Eishes Ach B'Makom Mitzvah is a Mitzvah. Yes, you did, yeah?
Why wouldn't you say the same about Shatnez and Tzitzis?
Because Shatnez, you can never have a case of Eishes, in other words, when you read the Pasuk, Ervas Eishes Achicha Lo Segale, it doesn't create any exceptions. So if I draw a diagram, a circle, I think my Venn diagram of all the possibilities in the world are included, this is the circle that contains Eishes Ach. Now when you say there's a mitzvah of Yibam, you have to carve out of that circle. But if you take all scenarios that Shatnez is Aser, you get one circle. If you take all scenarios in which you perform the mitzvah Tzitzis, those circles are separate circles for the most part, except for in a small area. If you happen to be wearing a beged of pishtim, and now you need to fill the mitzvah tchela, so that one area, those two circles overlap, where on the one hand you have an asei of tzitzis that exists independently in most cases, you have a los asei of shatnez that exists independently in most cases, shalom b'makom mitzvah tzitzis, my regular beged. And now they happen to overlap, that's where you employ the principle of dechia. For those of you who are eagerly awaiting my article, that's one of the points that I make, that dechia can not be definitional. Dechia must be, by its definition, incidental. Okay, so, Eishes Ach, in effect, is not a heter. Eishes Ach is a definition. Whereas Achos Ishto is a heter. Achos Ishto is Nesar. The Misa of the Achos is the matir for Achos Ishto. It's in effect, and why? It's not a sep, it's not two dinim that clash. It's Ervas Ish, V'ishay l'achosalos ikach litzror legalos ervasa aleha b'chayeha. So the Torah prohibits Achos Isha, and then, in effect, it does constrain it b'chayeha. Now, why do I say that's called a heter? So firstly, it's always referred to that when Chazal talk about it, that's the way it's looked at. It's something that is usher right now, but it's omeid, since everybody dies, it's eventually omeid to be nitar. The only question is who dies first, in effect. But whereas Eishes Ach is not fundamentally of that nature, right? Number one. Number two, what I spoke about in this article by Enhetel Acharisura was a scenario in which two brothers were married to two sisters. If you catch this, I'm going to say this quickly. If you don't catch it, forget it. Two brothers are married to two sisters. One brother dies. Okay? What happens when one brother dies? What does the other brother do in this case? Nothing. There's no Yibum or Chalitza because his Yavama is his wife's sister. What happens now when his wife dies? The brother who's alive? So there's no yibum achalitza either because kevan shenesra alav sha'achas nesra al-olam. Since at the time his brother died, you couldn't do yibum. She's asura forever eshes ach. Let's say he's now ba'aleha. Anyway, he violates the avera. How many karbanos chatos does he bring? So let me help you on this. Before you do that, let's say his wife hasn't died yet. He's now is Baal Yevimto. So thinking it's a mitzvah. Okay, well, no, let's say he didn't think it was a mitzvah, but he didn't know it was Aser. Okay, because Torah B'dvar mitzvah might be Pater. His wife didn't die yet, but he does Yibam on his wife's sister. So what's the din? How many chatos does he bring? No, there's no, it's shogeg.
Two.
And there's no mamon here. How many chatos? So Josh says correctly, two chatos. One for Eishas Ach Shaloba Mako Mitzvah, because there's no mitzvah, because there's no mitzvah Yibam. You're not allowed to do it. Two for Achos Ishto. Now let's say his wife dies. And now instead, now he does Bia. So it's also
one,
of Eishas Ach Shaloba Mitzvah. You want to say Achos Ishto, there's no chatos for it. There's a Rabbeinu Chananel that seems... There's a Rabbeinu Chananel who sounds like Yuchayev Tu Chataos. That's what they all said. You're only chayev one. Rabbeinu Chananel says you're chayev two. It sounds like even though your wife died, you answer the question why. That's what I answered. I told you the answer already. Because it's a matir that's chal, but it's only chal when it's going to be mutter. If there's another iser that's omeid v'koi, poli v'koi, then the iser of the heter of v'chaya of achos ishto lachar mosa is not chal. Now, the other Rishonim may not agree with that, but I just want to point, even if you don't agree with that, it might be because they don't hold to this crazy idea that ain't heter chal aliser. In other words, the chalos heter comes, and it's not achos ishto anymore. It's still aliser because of eishes ach. But Rabbeinu Chananel sounds as if he holds yechayev tu chatos. So why? The answer, I think, has to be, this is what I wrote, the answer has to be that since the heter won't work anyway because there's still an iser kares there, therefore, a permanent iser kares, therefore the heter of achos ishto isn't chal either, and therefore it remains Aser. Now, she was Neser because of Achos Ishto, and the Heter is in Chal. So that's why I think Eishas Ach cannot be included here according to anybody, whereas Achos Ishto, there is a Heter that's Chal. Just like Anida, there's a Heter that's Chal when? When she goes to the mikveh. Moshe.
Yeah, so are you talking about just in case of Yibam, there's still the Iser, or are you talking about even a case where there's divorcing before they had children?
No, there's no Yibam when they divorce before he had children. She's not his wife anymore. It's only the woman who's married him. If he divorces her and then dies without children, she's just Eishes Ach. The mitzvah of Yibam is only when he's married to a woman when he dies and he has no descendants.
It's still Aser?
If he divorced her and didn't remarry her? Yeah. No, but everybody agrees that's an Iser Erva.
Right. Okay.
The Shia is, what if he divorces her? At that point, the Iser, in a sense, is more Chal, because if things stay as they are, even if he dies without children, she's not Ishto anymore, and Eishes Ach remains forever, but now he remarries her. That's a machlokas Rabbi Elazar and the Chacham, and it comes up a few days ago in the Daf. Okay, yes, Josh?
Rabbeinu Chananel, would he also presume that in a case where she's Iser for another reason, or is it just because of this?
So take a look. I think in principle it could be another Iser, but I don't think you would say it by... But it would have to be a permanent Iser. Eishes Ish. Right. So I don't remember what I wrote anymore about that. I think I do discuss it. Go back years. I'm inclined to think it would have to be an issue where there's no Tfisas Kiddushin. That's what I would think, but you could argue even other issues. The only thing I would say is that if your Achos Ishto was an Eishes Ish, for sure the Heta would eventually be Chal. Now, it is possible that while she's an Eishes Ish, while your wife's sister is an Eishes Ish, that you could be Chayiv too, but I doubt it. I suspect that an Issur that's Omein in itself, you know, to be Nitar, that you would say that Heter is Chal there, even though she's not Mataris right now. But Eishes Ach, which is an Isser Olamis, so that's what I think. That's the way you have to explain Rabbeinu Chananel Shita. Otherwise, why would you be Chayev a second Chatas? Okay, so now that I think I've explained that part, but now what's the machlokas between Nida and Achos Ishto? Right? They're both things, let's accept for the moment, where there's a Heter that could potentially be Chal. So what is the difference between the two? I think the answer is obvious, but yes. Adin?
The Nida has a known, or if not known exactly, that it's we're sure that at some point the Isser Nida will no longer be existent, but we have no guarantee that he will ever have a case where Achod Ishto will be Like your wife might, you might die before your wife.
Okay, so I think that you're fundamentally correct, but this is actually, there's more, the Rishonim would probably formulate this in a different way. Yudi, what were you going to say?
There's nothing wrong with the girl who's Anita herself. It's just that she's Anita now. Achol Isha, there's something wrong with her. You can't be with her.
Reb, you can't be with Anita either. Carrie?
Because she's Anita, there's nothing really wrong with her.
But there's nothing wrong with Achos Ishto either. It just happens to be she's related to your wife, by chance, by being a sister. Josh?
So that's it, because it's exterior. I think what he's saying is that it's exterior to the person herself, meaning like that, like Nita is intrinsic. It's not intrinsic.
Well, you're making it worse. You're making it worse. If someone would have picked one of these two, I take as a given that the one who says that there's no kama the rabbin by Achos Ishto because it's a lighter kares because he's hetter, certainly by Nita would say that.
He says off.
Right, correct, right. I think that's clear. Yetzi?
The Nida has a reasonable expectation of control over her status.
So that's the other part of it. Not just in other words, not the terminal date, but the principle, a very important principle that's known as biyado. Right, there is a very important yesod in halacha that's known as eid echad neman bi'isurim. That if you have something that's aser and one witness comes and tells you, or that it's becheskas iser, your meat is becheskas iser. If one witness tells you, I shechted the animal and it's kosher, so that person is Neman. Why? Eidecha Neman Bisurin. Now, the question is, would that apply in all cases where... why is that mutter? Why is that mutter? So part of the svara behind it is that it's biyado. The question is, does Eidecha Neman Bisurin work even in situations when it's not biyado? But one of the paradigms, what is the makor for Eidecha Neman Bisurin actually? V'safra la, by Nida. The problem with that as a makar for Eidecha Neman Bisurin is that that's a case which is biyada. She has control because she can do sfira. The assumption is a woman will eventually stop bleeding, and then she can choose to go to the mikvah. So therefore, it might be that nida is, because it's biyada, that's more a kal iser because it's biyada lahatir. Whereas perhaps by Achos Ishto, which is not, I mean, it is biyada in theory, but not properly a beheter, right? It is, you know, biyada. I know some friends, and my friends know some friends, and they can arrange things, right? So you can always create a heter if you want for Achos Ishto, but not beheter, right? It requires murdering someone, okay? But Nida has a natural control built in where a woman can be matir herself and materis herself, and therefore it might be, you'd only say by Nida that's an iser kal. The kares is kal enough to allow to say that you don't say kam le'drabine because it's not such a severe iser. Only by a really severe iser do you say it. Fine. Okay. Any questions about that? So again, we had three issues to deal with here to explain the limitation on Chun Yashita. Number one is, why does he get to that? Why do we get to this idea that something which has a heter, la'achari surah, is more kal, and therefore you don't say kam le'v derabimine, even though there's kares? How do we get it from Yom HaKippurim kishabis l'tashlumin? The makar is not Shabbos. That I didn't have an answer to. Question number two is, why is Shabbos davar she'en lo heter? And the answer is because on Shabbos, this Shabbos, next Shabbos, the following Shabbos, and Yom Kippur, it will always be aser. The fact that the malacha becomes mutter during chol is a different time period. It's not that Shabbos was hutar, it's just that it's not Shabbos anymore. Whereas this woman, Biachos Ishto, Bianida, will eventually become Uteres. And then the third question of why is Eishas Ach not counted at all, and why is it possible that you would only say this by Nida but not by Achos Ishto? So we explain that Eishas Ach is not a heter. Eishas Ach is a definition. These cases are Aser, these cases are Mutter. Whereas Achos Ishto and Nida is a heter that's Chal. Achos Ishto with the Misa of his wife, or even once upon a time his wife. If a man marries a woman, divorces her, and then she dies, he can also marry her sister. With the death of his once wife, or with the going to the mikveh, but even the distinction between Nida and Achos Ishto is that one is biyada, one is not biyada. And therefore we might say that only Nida is so lenient that the kares is therefore regarded as a less severe kares, and therefore you don't say kam le'v only by a more severe kares. Okay. Hillel, you can continue. Thank you. You can. I know that you haven't been relieved, but I'll get him tomorrow. Okay.
Rabbi Yehuda bar Plazi, Ma'amrin ba'imin kare.
Okay. Makos Vikareth. So we just addressed the issue. Of Mammon and Kares. So the question would be, what about Makos and Kares according to these Tanaim? Now this is kind of a funny question. It's a funny question because one of the issues, there is a sheet in the Bavli, quoted in Megillah actually, on this Mishnah, I believe. Rabbi Yitzchak. And what does Rabbi Yitzchak say? What's that? No, we don't say that. One sheet that says that kol chai v'kresa shalaku niftu midei kresasam. But Rabbi Yitzchak, I believe, holds. I think it's based upon the extra kares that's written by Achoso, that it's yotzes l'kares and there's no malkos. And from that he learns that whenever you chai v'kares, you're not chai v'malkos. So there, kares, the reason why you're not chai v'malkos when there's kares is why? It's not because of kamlei b'derabba minei. Why is it? For the same reason, according to the sheet that you don't that lav shenita las haras misa space, then there's no malchus, even if the edim warn you for malchus, right? In the Bavli, it's in the machlokas. In the Yushalmi, it's not a machlokas. In the Bavli, if a guy is about to be mechal Shabbos and we warn him and say don't do it, or we're going to bring you to Beis Din and give you malchus. So I'm an Amoritz. I don't know that the punishment for Shabbos is skila, not malchus. So what's the din? Because after all, Shabbos does say lo sasecho malacha. So it is a lav. It fits the pattern of lav de chasima, except that it's nital nazharas misas basin. So in the Bavli, it's a machlokes. I think Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, or something like that. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shema, whether or not a lav shenital nazharas misas basin, if they gave you asara for malchus, whether you get malchus or not. The Yushalmi seems to assume, I think, that you don't. But the question is, but that's not because of kam lebe the rabba minei. That's because this lav is not dumya de chasima. So in the Bavli, I think the position that anyone who's chayiv kares is not chayiv malchus is not because of kam lebe the rabba minei. It's just because that lav is not dumya de chasima. Chasima, muzzling your ox is a bad thing to do, but you don't get kares for it. Okay, so, but the Yushalmi says, wants to know what would malchus and kares be. It sounds like it's a kam lebe the rabba minei question. So I'm Rabbi Yosei. The Rabbanan weren't sure. So, Rabbi Yonah comes along and has a suggestion. I have a marker for you.
Rabbi Yonah,
why not learn from this, the Brais of Rishon Chai, the Tanai Rishon Meyochai?
Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Nehmar Karet Shabbat, the Nehmar Karet Yoma Kikurit, Ma Karet Nehmar Shabbat, in Ma Karet Zakarit, Karet Nehmar Yoma Kikurit, in Ma Karet
Right. So the truth is, this doesn't have to be because of a kamlei b'derabba minei. When you look at Rabbi Shimon, the quotation, this does not imply necessarily kamlei. It just says there's no makos by Shabbos and there's no makos by Yom Kippurim. That doesn't have to be because of kamlei b'derabba minei. Okay. But Rabbi Yehuda Bar Pazi's question did seem to present it in this context as a kamlei b'derabba minei question. Go ahead. So now the Yushalmi continues. Amar Mana. Now, we're not asking, according to Reish Lakish, we know that you're Potter. Baram. I have it backwards. The Shaila is only according to Reish Lakish. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a Davar Pashut. According to Rabbi Yochanan, there's Malkus even by Misa. Certainly, there's going to be Malkus by Kares.
Right, that's a very bold statement.
That what? If you don't say kam lebe the rabbi minei when you have misa and makos, certainly you're not going to say it when you have kares and makos. That's not bold at all. If you don't say it even when it's two onshim bidei based, then you're certainly not going to say it when it's kares bidei shemaim and makos. That's very reasonable. But now the Yushalmi is docha that. They're going to explain why do they think that the ispalgun, there was a machlokes. Gotta love that.
I miss the way that you're laughing.
He kills himself and his son. It's a murder suicide for avoded l'shem avod zara. This is not. I think you're taking medieval Jewish history now, and it wasn't l'shem avod zara. It was to avoid avod zara. Fine. There's a famous tshuva, a tragic tshuva. I think it was the Marami Rutenberg who was asked about someone who had killed his entire family in anticipation of the Crusaders, was about to turn the knife on himself, and then the Crusaders passed over his house. And the question is, how did he do tshuva? Wow. Anyway.
That's
a. Not criminal halacha.
No, he's killed
for this entire marriage.
Zach, do you hope to be a rabbi one day? Is that on your horizon, possible plans? Okay. Well, when you're thinking, start thinking about that, come and talk to me. Okay. Sometimes we answer questions not just because they provide halachic guidance, but because they provide salas and menuchas hanefesh. So anyway, okay. So.
The halachic man. If he sees the knife, he doesn't see the tragedy. It's just how
just stop. Just stop. It's hurting. It's hurting. Stop turning the knife. Go. So this palgon ashochet osam espinol l'sheba v'dezara. He shechted. Firstly, you don't have to shech both. You shech the mother. Now you shech the vlad, and you do the second one. The first one's mutter to do in osam espinol. It's the second one. Once you've shechted one, you can't shech within another one generation of it. It's kind of like the issur of isha ubita, but there it's two generations. Okay, and that's forever. This is yom echad. So he goes ahead and he shechs the vlad l'sheba v'dezara. So what's the din? Okay, he doesn't clear. Again, it could be he gets both, or he get either one, okay? But it's an aveira that entails, it's two averas, one action that entails both Misa and Malkus. Rabbi Yochanan said if they warn about the Malkus, he can get it. Reish Lakish Amar. Okay. So Reish Lakish says, as you would expect, that because you could have potentially gotten Skila, therefore, we say, come labor the rabbi, even though you didn't get a hasra for that, you don't get the malchus. Now, you should guys all be jumping up down and saying, what do you mean? How can the Yerushalmi say this and not realize something's wrong? I mean, it does realize something's wrong. What was Rabbi Yochanan Shita by Chayvei Misa Shogegin? Right. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say this? In the Bavli, there's a Havamina to say that otherwise, not in Yerushalmi. The Gemara rejects it because Tana Bechizkiah. They modify Rabbi Yochanan. All right, so the Yushami answers, Afilu k'Rabbi Yochanan Srihala, why? Right, so I'm still stuck on this a little bit, which is there, it's two different Isurim that I get. Here we're talking about one Isur. So I understand it in this context. I don't understand other context. There's one Isur, namely, you violate Yom Kippur, there's kares, and it's a lav. So it's the same avera, it's only one avera. So here, Rabbi Yochanan might say, kares a malkos, you don't get malkos. It's one thing if I did a kares or a misa and a malkos, and they're two separate averos, and I didn't get one for the misa one, so maybe I can get malkos for it. But one avera, maybe even Rabbi Yochanan would say that there's no kares, no malkos, but malkos kares, because of the, right? Maybe he would say that. So that's why the Yushami says, we're not really sure. Okay, one last passage in the Yerushalmi. Go ahead. Okay, so this is a question that's hard to understand also, but the assumption, the way the Mefarshim explain this is as follows. Reish Lakish said that the Mishnah is Shitas Rabbi Meir, that Adam is Loke Mishalim. And that's why you chayev by balachoso and achosavim and achosimo and all those things you chayev to pay kanas because adam loka mishalim. If you remember, Rabbi Yochanan said no. Even the rabbanon agree. It's not just the Rabbi Meir. The rabbanon agree. When you don't get malchus, you pay mamon. So, but according to Reish Lakish, the rabbanon would pater even by chayev malki or shogim. Even though you don't get the malchus, they pater. So the question is, if that's the case, what's the difference between Reb Nechunya and Reb Shimon Asya and the Chachamim of the Mishnah, because they both, is there a difference between them? In other words, Remeir says Loka Mishalim. But what about Nechunya and Shimon Asya? How do they differ from the Chachamim of the Mishnah, Aliba the Reish Lakish? So the Yushalmi gives the answer, it really says it, I don't know why it's here, Lav in Lokresus. Which means, whenever there's an Isser Lav, but there's no Kares. So what would Reish Lakish say the Rabbanon hold, those who argue Rabbi Meir? If there's no kares, but there's a lav, what's the din in the Mishnah? What would be an example, by the way? Mamzeres? Okay. So what would be the nafkamina? The nafkamina would be a lav, shemo kares. Reb Shimon ben Asya and Reb Chanan ben Elkanah would say, since there's no kares, you don't say kam lebi rabbi minei, unless you actually get the malkos. The Chachamim would say, no, according to Reish Lakish, potential malkos is enough to pati from Amon. That would be the nafkamina between these two last tanaim and the chachamim of Rabbi Meir. Okay. According to Reish Lakish. The chachamim of Rabbi Meir according to Reish Lakish. So now the Yushalmi spells out Rabbi Yudan Amar. Right. Al Daita de Ilen Tanoi. Right, according to Rabbi Chunya and Rabbi Shimon ben Asya, that only kares paters you, so then you would pay in this case. Adate. Right, with the Rabbanan of Rabbi Meir, who the way Reish Lakish understood them, Hoel. Okay, so now the Yushalmi has one last question here. A Yushalmi that seems to have escaped the notice of Tosfos, actually, the first Tosfos in the next sugya that we will begin, God willing, tomorrow, in the Bavli. Okay, on the bottom Tosfos and Lamed Aleph and Beis, Tosfos seems to have missed this Yushalmi. Okay? Go ahead. It means the entire Mishnah is against the Chachamim. Is that what you're going to say? The truth is, I don't know whether it's so shocking. Right? We say, the Bavli said, Elum Naro Sheishlam Knas is Rabbi Meir, and the end, according to Reish Lakish, is Rabbi Meir, so why can't the middle be Rabbi Meir? What's the big deal? So the Yushalmi gives a very clever answer. I'm a Rabbi Matanya. You want to know when the Mishnah says, Abal Mamzeris is Chayiv Knas? The chiddush of that was even though she's psula bakahal, it wasn't that it was an avera, because maybe there wasn't an avera, because a mamzer is allowed to be baal mamzeris. Who else can be baal mamzeris beheter? A ger, right? An asin, right? So there are ways how baal mamzeris can involve no iser other than the rape or the pitoy. So that's what Rabbi Tanya says. He says no, the ratio of the Mishnah could be the chachamim, and a baal mamzeris might only be chayiv knas when the bia was beheter, or was potentially beheter. It's okay, but no, it's more than that, Yitzi. It's because the chiddush of the reisha, habal amamzeres, like habal and asina, and habal like it was, that an akutis, is that even though they're psulei kahal, sminastam, even though they're psulei kahal, you might have thought that they don't get knas for whatever reason. Whatever. I don't know. So anyway, that's what Rabbi Tanya suggests, that it could even be... No, Rabbi Meir would agree in that case also. This is a separate issue. The Yushalmi might not read Elun Aris the way the Bavli does. That's correct. All right. So anyway, you could have... Anyway, the Bavli, you can have Balam Zeres Beheter. And the last line we read already. Just read quickly. Ve'eshes Achiv Lav Yevim Tohi. How can the Mishnah list Eshes Achiv that there's a Knas if a woman was married already... If the woman was married already, so then she's not. Then she's Morasa. If she was divorced from his brother, then she could. That's one answer. So, but if the assumption was Eishes Achiv and his brother dies, so it's a mitzvah Yibam. What do you mean Yeshalim Knas? It's a mitzvah he did. It's not a mitzvah raping her for Yibam purposes. But mitzad Habal Eishes Achiv. How could there be, even though it's wrong to force her, there's no din of onus in mefata when it actually makes a marriage. So the Yushalmi says, Tiposer, his brother had children from a different marriage, ve'ireis isha, right, she has to be a basula, that's why you can only have had Erisin. So now he dies, so now there's no mitzvah yibam because his brother had zera from another wife, and therefore it's an isser kares, an isser lav, and that's why it's listed in the Mishnah. Okay, we stop here.